The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Spirits Podcast, episode 23, Cachet the Deathless,
so with creepy.
Yvonne Pliss.
I'm so excited.
We're so pleased. Oh my God.
It's such a good, like, winter Russian fairy tale that I feel like I'm kind of upset that Yvonne got to tell it before I could.
Like, get your flask of vodka, get your cloak on, and, like, enter the forest with us.
Oh, God. It's a lot of fun, and you guys are going to fucking love it.
But before we get there, we wanted to thank our new patrons, Ryan Nabla, Heidi B., and Paul Sating. Thanks also, as always, to our supporting producers, Leanne Davis, Shannon Alford, and now Phil Fresh.
You beautiful land mermaids and merman.
We love you so much. And we have some super cool redesigned recipe cards coming at you this week. So you can join us on patreon.com/spiritspodcast to see them, to hear our audio extras, our blooper reel. It's awesome.
And a shout out to all of you who shared your hometown urban legends with us. It was so exciting to read all of them.
Like the pumpkins, we put out the call and you answer.
You guys are so good to us.
So good.
Love it. Especially thank you to Kaylee, the cryptozoologist.
Great Twitter name.
Shiloh, Jessica, Daniel Silver, and James Santana for telling us in very detailed tweets all about your stuff.
We love it. We actually have a Google Doc going. It's very fun. But guys, if you don't follow us on Twitter and Facebook, like, what are you doing? We are at Spirits Podcast. We retweet fan art. We retweet fan tales. We love to, like, booze it up on Friday afternoons.
We're just a lot of fun.
We are. We're way more fun on Twitter than we are in real life.
That's
Julia.
Absolutely true.
We're also, though, on YouTube for your podcast watching convenience.
Or listening.
Yes. Well, you watch on YouTube.
Yeah,
anyway,
all right, whatever.
Get to look at our logo for 25 minutes, which I would, because it's beautiful.
It is really pretty.
And we made a Goodreads group to keep all of our favorite mythology-related books all in one place, have discussions, get to know you guys better. So links to both of those are in the description.
Yeah, you guys asked for it, and we were like, hell yeah, why don't we have this already?
Yeah, such a good idea. And we're going to add more books with each episode, so follow us.
Right now, our top Goodreads pick is American Gods by Neil Gaiman, one of my favorite novels of all time.
And the more you listen to Spirits, the more you'll recognize the kind of characters and mythologies that Gaiman is playing off of, spinning off of in the novel.
We've talked about a couple, but when the TV show comes out, I'm going to do a full thing.
Yeah, mini series, something along those lines.
It's going to be good.
Anyway, point being, follow us on Twitter, y'all.
So, Amanda, what are we drinking today?
We are drinking one of my favorite beers, which is Old Rasputin Russian Imperial Stout.
Yes.
We didn't go with vodka, but we went with the second most Russian thing we could find.
I feel like it would have been too cliche for us to go with vodka.
I know, I know. We try to be a little less cliche than our first idea.
But the Rasputin? Super on brand. I know.
We're really into it. But that's about it.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
So, enjoy Spirits Podcast episode 23, Cachet the Deathless with Yvonne Pliss. So we are so pleased today to welcome my longtime friend, one of my first very close internet friends, Yvonne Pliss, with whom I had a published internet project before.
Yeah, we for like a year.
The Spirits Podcast thing. Yeah, daily blog and YouTube show called Wonkistan.
That's what
wonderful.
Turned me into a journalist, for better or for worse.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
And similarly to Spirits, interested in nuance and culture and, you know, colliding interests that wouldn't otherwise be written about in the same way.
Just arguably less drunkenness.
No drunkenness, in fact.
Okay.
This is an improvement. Yeah. We were also under 21, so.
Yeah, that's true. Well, thank you so much for having me, you guys. This is great. So I heard your Russian ladybirds, ladies,
cool.
Episode, and I thought there's just so much more in the sort of the Russian mythological canon
just
to
that
tap
whole
into.
That whole continent
we
over
just,
so much time.
We just scratched the surface.
Such a landmass, you guys. Such a landmass.
And Ivan, listeners, was born in Russia.
Yes.
Speaks Russian, into geopolitics,
yeah.
into history, into religion.
There you go. Yeah, just squeezed in like Indiana Jones pulling his hat in. I was born and then we moved to the States when I was 4 months old.
There sliding out under that stone wall. Yeah. That was actually Darren Curtin.
That was a good one. Woo!
Well done. Yeah, no, technically
I'm
I was
still
born
drinking,
in this.
So don't have a high expectation.
We're going. We're going.
And not vodka because, come on.
No.
My cliche.
No, sorry, guys.
Just
I should have brought
beer.
Some. Yeah. I thought, so one of the interesting things to me about the Russian folktales I sort of grew up hearing as a kid is how there's often sort of a set number of characters who show up over and over again in different configurations.
Gollum style.
I mean, it's almost kind of like a sketch comedy show or something, right? Where it's like, we're doing this kind of a story. I guess it's time for this guy to show up again, you know?
It's trope-tastic.
It's very trope-tastic, but I mean, it's like, it's not even subtle about it. It's not just like, the brave hero, the princess. It's
like that
they,
one brave hero, that one princess.
And like, they all have the same names.
Oh, I like that.
I like that too. And you probably obviously know more about this than I do, but I have sort of ideas of like, you know, nation building, and you know, we are one people with one history, and these are the characters that we use to tell ourselves the stories that we want to, you know, inculcate our kids into.
We'll get to that.
Okay.
The thing I wanted to start out with. Y'all mentioned in the Bird Ladies episode how sort of Russian mythology came from a slightly different place than what we're familiar with in Western Europe, because Christianity showed up a little bit later, and then once it did, there was a great flourishing and messy process of syncretism.
It's always a little bit messy.
It's always a little messy, right?
Russia, syncretic as fuck.
Incredibly syncretic, yeah. And so a lot of the Slavic pagan deities who are like extremely hardcore, and like sort of much more like the Norse,
deal. Very much like feed me the blood of your enemies, sort of.
So a lot of them became various monsters, but some other ones sort of got conflated with like the prophet Elijah, his feast on the Orthodox Church calendar is in late summer, and so he became associated, and because he's associated with the sky, because if you read your Old Testament, he was taken up into heaven in a chariot, he's associated with the old pagan thunder god.
Dope.
Yeah, and so there's all sorts of these kinds of connections. The story I want to tell you today is the story of Prince Ivan and Kashay the Deathless.
I feel like you might have picked the story for a reason.
Okay, well, here's the thing, is there are multiple Ivans in the Russian folkloric canon. Like, even leaving aside this sort of stock character thing, there's Prince Ivan, who is generic, wealthy, noble, heroic, kind of bland hero guy with a sword.
He's a
not
Gary
bad.
Sue.
Not bad.
Yeah,
he's
total,
a Gary Sue.
Absolutely.
He's a Gary Sue of Russia.
But there's, like, that's not the only Ivan that you have, even when you're talking about generic Ivans.
And is that, like, unusual even compared to the, like, how common Ivan is as a name?
Well, I mean, that's the thing, is I think it's kind of a cipher. It's sort of an everyman kind of name for a reason.
Like Jack in English.
Exactly. You've got Jack and the Beanstalk, and you've got all these other Jacks popping up. Exactly. But there's also Ivanushka the Fool, who is a very different Ivan and does not have anything in common with Prince Ivan. And somehow these two Ivans, like, manage to, you know, even though they're mononymous, it's like if there were two Chers running around or something.
That would be weird.
I don't know. In my family, I have three cousins named Danny, and they're all at like the very different spectrums of all the cousins.
There you go.
Like, in terms of like, you know, careers and family status, whatever.
So like Prince Ivan is the one who rescues the princess and slays the dragon and does all the things, and then Ivanushka the Fool is the one who makes a terrible mistake and then somehow rectifies it through accidental good fortune.
Oh,
that's
great.
Always good. That's the kind of guy you want to like have a beer with. Be like, exactly. Oh, you tripped and fell. Oh, you found a shit ton of money when you fell.
It's sort of an Andy Dwyer from Parks and Rec kind of situation.
Or a Scapin of Commedia dell'arte, Scapino.
Oh, yeah.
A show that Julie and I did in high school.
Yep. There you go. So our story begins with Ivan the Prince. And his three sisters, who
have, love it already.
Yeah.
Love it already.
They have various names in the various renditions of this story, and I think I'm going to maybe do a couple. I'm going to show you where the versions of this branch off. I may be blending versions of this story to give you...
No one knows the source text except for you. So.
Great.
So we're just going to be like,
I'm
going
to give you the best possible version of the different variations.
Yeah, I like that.
Great. Cram as many stock characters in here as I can.
The director's cut.
Yes. Prince Ivan and Cachet the Deathless, the director's
cut. You are the inheritor of all Ivans and all of folklore.
There can only be one. So our scene opens on Prince Ivan and his three sisters, who are generally, in these stories, known as Maria, Olga, and Anna, because of course...
Yeah.
Yep.
All solid Russian names.
Mm-hmm.
And their parents are dying.
Aww.
They're yeah. Like, this is the opening scene in like all of the versions of this story.
This is like Pixar's rate.
Sadly, highly relatable.
Right. And so because it's medieval Russia, the sisters need husbands. They're getting along okay. And a storm comes one day, and they all rush inside, and a raven comes flying into the house.
Prophetic raven time!
Well, it gets better.
We love
a raven
bird.
Flies into the house through the window.
Turns into a man?
Turns into a man.
Yes!
That's kind of husband's a bird husband.
Shape-shifting bird husband.
Oh, so good. So good already.
Flies in, says, hey, I came in here as a weird bird, but now I'm a man coming as a suitor. Give me one of your sisters. And she's like, and Maria, I believe, number one. Yeah.
Birdman has no job. Birdman has no prospects. Why would we marry the Birdman?
I think he's a prince. Yeah.
There's bird princes now.
There's bird princes. Yeah, this is.
Your dowry is birds.
I think he's a shape-shifting bird wizard guy. And so Princess
Maria. He's a really inventive in bed.
Right.
I'm just going to say it. We're all thinking it. I'm just going to say it.
So Princess Maria says, okay, I'm into it.
Okay.
Goes off, marries the guy whose name is literally like Raven the Raven guy. So sister number one goes off with her raven husband.
Maria.
A couple days go by, another storm comes.
Wait, can I just make a guess?
Is it a bird husband?
Is it an owl husband?
It's not an owl husband.
No, eagle husband.
It's an eagle husband!
Yeah, husband!
Eagle husband, same thing. Flies in the window, lands on the ground, turns into a hot wizard shapeshifter.
Eagle husband.
And same thing happens.
Great.
Olga's like, fine, let's go for it. Goes off to the kingdom of the eagle wizard guy.
What's the order age-wise that they're going off? So oldest.
I assume we're going
first.
Eldest to youngest,
okay.
Because this is a folk tale.
And you can't marry the youngest before the oldest is not married.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
And also symmetry.
Yeah.
A few more days go by, and we're down to Ivan and Anna hanging out in the fields one day. Storm comes.
I'm calling Amanda's owl one. This one's the owl.
Go inside.
Is it an owl?
It's a falcon.
Oh man.
Should have guessed it.
Normally falcons
are smaller than eagles. Oh yeah, no, falcons are little baby birds.
Right.
But they're like...
But it is the youngest.
But also falcons are like the peak of royalty. Because, like,
That's true.
You would have a falcon
and the most expensive bird.
Also, I feel like if you're in medieval Russia, these are all, like, maximum intimidation birds.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the raven kind of gets out-intimidated by the eagle and the falcon.
Sure.
That's just me.
Same thing happens. Anna's into it. Goes off. Lives with their shape-shifting wizard.
Listen, this family has a very specific set of kinks.
Anna is down to bird.
So now, Ivan...
I kind of looked way too smug with that joke.
So now, Ivan is sitting on his family property with no sisters around, but three very influential bird brothers-in-law.
Great.
Are they all just, like, living in the house with him?
No, I think they're each at their separate castles.
Okay, cool.
Because they're...
King Lear style.
Yeah, gotcha. They're, like, shape-shifting wizards. So, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And then one day, he goes out riding as a young prince with no parents or apparently any responsibilities. as you do. And he encounters a battlefield full of dead guys.
Not great. Okay. Not the best
and
situation.
He,
I feel like he would know about this if he was the prince of the land.
I think he's maybe gone into the bordering land. The thing about Russian fairy tales is there's like always an infinite supply of realms.
I mean, it's huge.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you need to get somewhere, there's always the most far away kingdom.
yes.
Yeah.
There's always somewhere.
There's always a further away kingdom. A lot of this winds up being like...
Much like ambition. Regardless of whatever kingdom you arrive at, there's always a further one farther
right.
away.
So he's off sojourning in another realm, runs into a battlefield full of dead guys.
Okay.
Goes, what is going on? If there is one living among you, tell me what has happened.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
In that
That's
very
a power move.
Proclamation.
Oh, yeah.
Prince
like,
way.
They're like... Keith standing on the edge of a cliff,
right.
like sublimity.
Not
know?
Like there's a lot of dead bodies. Let me go throw up over there.
No,
no,
just
no.
like if one of you is alive, you must tell me what happened.
From atop his horse.
So the one survivor goes.
Of course.
Oh, nice.
Hey, guy. It was Maria Morovna, this dope ass warrior princess.
Oh,
a different Maria from
different
his...
Maria.
Okay.
They
oh,
ran
okay.
out of names.
Listen,
okay, I was
unrelated.
Gonna say,
yeah,
there's scarcity. Come on,
right. So he keeps riding, comes to the tent of this dope ass warrior princess Maria Morovna.
Into it,
and he goes, okay, this is impressive and a little intimidating. So go for it. Marries Maria Morovna.
How?
Nice.
How?
Nice.
This is all like before the opening credits, by the way.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
This is the Pixar
this is the
intro.
Setup. Exactly. This is the montage.
Much like I also love how like battlefield like side of the battlefield like war tent sex is becoming a thing on Spirits. Much like Alexander and Epicene.
Okay.
I like that genre. That's a good genre overall.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a tag for it on Archive of Our Own.
So he marries Maria Morovna, who some people say that there's some kind of connection to, again, pre-Christian Slavic goddesses of death.
Sure.
Going on there.
Also, I love how he wasn't intimidated and tried to conquer her, but he was like, fair enough, I need
yeah.
to make an alliance with this, you know, clearly superior power.
Let me marry this warrior princess.
Exactly.
I'm into it.
Good job.
So, moves in to her castle. I'm not sure what's going on back home.
And moves in with her.
Yeah,
moves
I
in with her.
It. I love it.
And Maria's like, okay, look, Ivan, this is a great castle. Now, the only thing you have to do not to screw everything up is don't open that door.
Oh, no.
No. Don't boys always
Pandora's
open
box.
The door.
Yeah.
That Ivan's door.
In depending on the translation into English, you'll see this as, like, sometimes it's a dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, literally, it's translated as a closet.
Don't open my closet.
Don't open
box.
My...
It's essentially just a door to something.
Don't open
yeah.
this door. As soon, of course, as Maria Morovna goes off pillaging.
He opens the fucking door.
He opens the door.
God!
And who's in the door?
Were three shape-shifting bird brothers-in-law not enough for you?
Right.
They had to open the door?
God.
Right, so he's doing fine. Opens the door, and what's inside the door? Cachet the Deathless. Who is Cachet the Deathless? Cachet the Deathless is a weird skeletal evil wizard guy.
Okay.
If you kind of think, oh, if
like
you watch...
Like the Grim Reaper sans cloak.
Yeah, and like a beard... He's like,
okay. Why not?
Right, like a lot of the art you see in like the 19th century folkloric revival, like in these illustrated fairy tale books,
mm-hmm.
he's kind of just like this naked, skeletal, skinny old guy with a giant beard, like chasing
okay.
after someone.
I'm thinking Evil Dumbledore.
Evil Dumbledore, there
I'm
you go.
I'm thinking like...
There we go, there's a Harry Potter reference.
I'm thinking shrunken head, unshrunken on top of a Grim Reaper without the cloak.
Yeah, and he's hanging up, chained to the wall by 12 chains.
Oh,
poor K.
Yeah.
12.
Yes.
Interesting number.
And Yvonne goes, holy shit, there's an evil wizard hanging in this
there's
closet.
An evil naked wizard in this closet.
Bro, you married a battle princess.
Right.
What do you expect?
Unfortunately, because he's pure of heart, he takes compassion on this man.
God,
who says,
dude.
Fetch me some water, for I am very thirsty. Brings a bucket of water, brings two, brings three buckets of water, magic number. Regains his strength, breaks the chains, flies out of the house in a whirlwind, and steals the wife.
Yes.
God damn it.
So Cachet the Deathless.
You bring Cachet the Deathless a bucket of water, he takes your wife next.
Right.
In a whirlwind.
So here are the things you have to know about
this. Is like fucked up Wizard of Oz. As if that needed to be further fucked up.
So here are the things you need to know about Cushai the Deathless. He's deathless.
Okay, cool. Okay.
Got that from
Ever
the name.
Living. Ever
yeah.
Living.
So some of the places I've read compare him to like liches in like Western European
okay, yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, where mm-hmm. like he has some, I think like Horcruxes is like
huh.
his mortality is
right.
hidden away somewhere inaccessible.
So
right.
Okay.
Right. And in this,
you know, that was a real thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's everything in Harry Potter is something else.
Also, a lich is something that's really popular in Dungeons and Dragons as
oh,
a
yes.
bad guy.
That's
usually
right.
they're evil.
That's right.
Cool.
Ivan does the natural thing. Well, better go find my wife.
I thought
okay.
you were going to say the natural thing, but like, well, all right, she's gone.
That's it. Go back to my castle, which is just
end
like
of fairy tale.
He has to get his wife back. He's
Lady
pure of heart. The warrior princess
whatever.
Is in trouble.
Pure of heart is so 2004.
The warrior
princess can probably handle herself.
Well, you'd think. But he goes wandering the forest, finds the stories vary. Often it's like an old man who gives him a ball of string that leads him to the castle of Cushai the Deathless,
sure.
blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
Finds the wife.
It doesn't matter. Old man's a foil. Let's go.
Yeah. Riding along on his horse, finds the wife, and he tries to steal away the wife.
I bet that doesn't go well.
Doesn't go well, because Cushai the Deathless, besides being deathless and this evil, naked Horcrux wizard, has an impossibly fast horse.
Of
Whoa,
course.
Nice!
Yeah.
Nice. We love a good Russian horse.
Love a good impossibly fast horse. Got
yeah.
bored of the magical talking horses.
I mean...
Yeah, there's more magical talking horses all over Russian mythology. tries this again the following night under cover of night. Doesn't work. Cushai says, listen, guy who's inexplicably hanging around my castle who I haven't destroyed. Try this one more time. I will cut you into pieces and throw you into the ocean.
Because the third time's
you
gone.
Gotta have a third attempt. You gotta have a third attempt.
Tries. Doesn't work. Cushai catches Ivan, cuts him into pieces, puts him in a barrel,
no.
seals it, throws in the ocean.
Solid.
Whoa.
That's what I would do.
Because why would you burn it and give it a definitive ending?
Right.
No. Gotta throw it in that ocean.
And so who comes along, knows their brother-in-law is in trouble?
Eagle husband? Falcon husband?
And Raven husband.
Raven husband.
Nice.
It's like the mythical Pokemon. It's like the three birds.
That's true. The legendary Pokemon.
Yeah, exactly. So the legendary Pokemon husbands, the birds-in-law...
I don't know. I just want to use that all the time
converge.
My avian in-laws.
Yeah. My avian in-law. So our bird friends.
Avian in-laws. How did I miss
oh!
them? Oh no.
So
God.
Good.
Losing my touch.
converge on this barrel.
Okay.
One of them.
Do they lift it up on a line?
And bring
between
it,
them?
Yeah, yeah, and bring it up, bring it to dry land. Oh yeah. So like one of them fetches it out of the ocean. One of them, and then the other two go to the ends of the earth because of course this is Russia. There is unlimited space.
Yes.
One of them brings the water of death. One of them brings the water of life. They pour the water.
Hold on.
Okay.
Where are we getting?
Okay, okay.
Where are we getting
okay.
this from?
Bring it back.
Bring it back.
Where
again,
get this from?
This is a stock. Thing. This is a stock element.
Like the fountain of youth or whatever.
It's like the fountain of youth.
Okay.
Except
okay.
their water is both of death and life because balance.
Sure.
Yeah. And so one of the birds, maybe he's in human form, I don't know, pours the water of death over the Ivan chunks.
I mean, he's already dead.
Reassembles him into a
corpse.
Cool. Into a singular corpse.
Which he then revives with the waters of life.
There you go. Mm-hmm. And so we now have...
That seems pretty easy.
Yeah. So we now got our Ivan.
Seems way too simple.
I guess if you have AV in-laws,
yeah.
Anything is possible.
There you go. So there we are. We've got a reconstituted and living Ivan.
Great.
Good for Ivan. Great.
And the birds go, okay, what's going on here? Well, I got outflanked by Cushai's impossibly fast horse 3 times in a row.
Yep.
I know what you gotta do, say the birds. You gotta go... to the witch who lives in the forest.
Great. I feel like that's what you go to first.
Right. So after, I mean, this is good advice from your bird brothers-in-law.
Yep.
Is the witch Baba Yaga?
Baba Yaga!
Whoa!
This is the story.
Misception.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah. This is the story that has
stories.
All the Russian characters show up at one point.
This is
so
pretty legit.
Can you summarize Baba Yaga for us?
Yeah. So Ivan is walking through the forest, sees a little house, a hut that is on the legs of a giant chicken.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're loving the birds.
Lots
Russia
of,
loves of
Russia's
birds.
Russia's got some birds
loves
going
bird.
On.
Loves
yeah.
a good bird.
So Baba Yaga is a witch of powers equivalent to that of cachet, lives in a hut in the forest on chicken legs, so in times of distress, it can run away.
Oh, so cute. It's like the gorilla pod of animal feet. Like, it can cling to whatever surface you put it onto.
There you go.
Also, chicken legs are creepy. They're like weird,
creepy
like,
as fuck.
Raptor
creepy
legs.
Oh,
they're,
yeah.
They're gross.
No. Dinosaur hangovers.
Yeah.
No.
There's also like a whole side quest potentially here where like he goes back and like tries to cross a river of fire to get to Baba Yaga. We don't have to talk
it's
about that.
It's the B plot.
Yeah,
yeah,
depending on how tired the child is and how much it
exactly
needs to be like.
Yeah, that's the thing is these are kind of accordion shaped.
Yeah.
These stories
yeah
can be as long or as short
I
as
like
you need
that
them to
I
be.
Like that.
Yeah. So Baba Yaga's house on chicken legs is surrounded by a fence of bones with skull.
Just going right for
top
that aesthetic.
Sweet.
Exactly.
Awesome.
She's
that's
very
I
metal.
I like that aesthetic.
Yeah.
And,
we can be friends. I bet she has like really thick mascara. You know, like the clumpy mascara?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Like the old lady mascara.
Yeah.
We're like, talking
yeah
about
like
bird ladies. We're back to bad
and
ladies.
Like blue eyeliner, but only on the bottom lid. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else's parents raised in the 80s?
Yeah.
And this is the best part is to, so in Western Europe, we're used to our witches riding around
we
on
are
broomsticks.
Yes.
Not Baba Yaga. Baba Yaga flies around, so you know a mortar and pestle?
Yes.
Got a giant one. Sits in, I guess, the mortar.
Yes.
And
is the pestle for smashing?
It's for smashing, I think.
Yes.
She's also got a broom that is sort of like her air
to clean
core
it out.
Yeah.
Yes.
And to like sort of sweep the air behind her, I guess.
Like
so
a
that's rudder? What, yeah, so like that's what she flies around in.
That's incredibly useful.
Yeah. And sort of like this giant wooden smashy thing.
Also totally works with the idea that like witches, you know, were making potions and like grinding stuff up. And
alchemists.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Alchemists.
Yeah. And so in some stories, she's much more of like the main villain. Here, she is sort of like the secretly helpful, morally neutral figure.
Right. It's the like playing China and Russia off themselves to like help out North
there,
Korea or
there
something.
There you go. There you go. Yvonne knows what's up, goes up to the bone fence,
okay,
says, chicken house. Come, turn around and lower yourself to me. Kind of a Rapunzel situation.
Or an accessible bus.
Or an accessible bus. There you go. The house comes down. Yvonne comes in.
Aww.
We have a little meet cute with Baba Yaga. And Baba Yaga
is
says,
she like sitting in a cloud of smoke in her mortar?
Yeah, or whatever. Like sitting by the fire or the stove.
Licking just some bones or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a rocking chair made out of like petrified heads.
There
yeah
you go. There
I'm
you
into
go
it.
And so Baba Yaga says, oh, you got a regular cachet wife stealing problem.
Like, this is a common thing. This happens all the time.
Typical Yashay.
Yeah, I mean, these stories are wheels within wheels.
He
right
also is deathless, so it probably does happen more than once.
Yep.
Baba Yaga, being a superior witch, knows the secret.
Mm-hmm.
Here is where the Horcrux is.
Great.
Cachet's death is in the tip of a needle, inside of an egg, inside of a duck,
okay,
inside of a hare, inside of a giant wooden chest that is buried underneath a tree in an island in the middle of the ocean.
That's like three levels of Slavic turducken.
Yeah. So this is death turducken, basically.
Wow. That's way more complicated than a chest in the middle of a lagoon in Harry Potter. Like,
yeah,
that's really the best you could do for your necklace, Voldemort.
Right.
Like, come on.
And so Baba Yaga says, look, I will let you go and point you in the direction of the thing and give you a horse that can get you there or whatever if you watch my horses 3 days in a row and keep them from straying.
All right, what's wrong with the horses?
Sounds like everything can go wrong here.
Yeah. Yeah. On his way to Baba Yaga's, he has some fortunate encounters with some animals. And
of
so
course. I love a convenient magical animal.
Yeah. So he's walking for days and days and days, very hungry, sees a wolf, takes out his bow and arrow to shoot it, but the mom goes, no, do not shoot.
The wolf
my
mom?
Son. Yeah, don't shoot my
oh,
son.
Talking wolf
talking
mom?
Talking wolf
yeah
mom.
Okay.
Says, don't shoot my son. In return, we will perform all the favors you could possibly want.
Wow. So normally the power dynamic is the other way around.
Yeah.
Usually it's like, don't shoot my son, I will eat you now.
Nope.
Right, or like, I might not eat you for a minute while I prolong your suffering.
Right, this is sort
I'm
of like extremely
you
gnarled, I don't know, Snow White kind of, or Cinderella kind of situation.
All right.
Right, where it's like the
right, right,
the
not,
animals
not
are
the
my
mice
friends.
Not the mice, the giant wolf.
The giant wolf.
Yeah.
And so great.
I mean, there's some like Cinderella bird shit going on. Like, right. Come on.
So I've got good karma with the wolves.
Okay.
This happens again with, I think, some birds and I think a fish.
What other animals are left?
Yeah.
I was going to go like a badger.
Yeah.
By the time he gets to Baba Yaga's, he's got some good karma with the animals.
Cool.
So.
Convenient. Good to have.
Day one. Take out the horses into the fields. As soon as they get there, they all scatter. He's panicking.
Why did he take them to the fields?
Because
they're horses. They gotta run
around.
That's
his job. They gotta graze.
Man, do you know
horses?
Horses
gotta graze. Horses gotta graze.
He panics. But then Wolf Mom shows up, says, "Don't worry, I got this taken care of."
Oh, nice.
By sundown, all the horses have returned to their enclosure by Baba Yaga's.
All right.
Did the wolf mom give them a stern talking to?
Yeah, no, apparently all the wolves corralled, like a whole family of wolves.
Yeah. The pack of wolves.
Yeah. Corralled the horses back into the pen.
I'm just picturing the wolf mom giving them a stern talking
to. Baba Yaga's like, okay, nicely done. Take them out into the woods this time.
Mm.
Takes them into the woods.
See how that works for you.
Yeah, takes them into the woods. Again, they scatter immediately, panics, birds show up.
Nice.
All the birds gonna take care of
this.
Nice.
Yeah. Take them down to the beach.
Mm.
Fish.
Because Russia is a land of endless environments. There are endless levels here.
Then we go to the desert and the mountain.
And so on day three, in some versions there's bees instead. Anyway.
You know I like me some bees.
Yeah. And by day three, we have done 3 days of normal horse grazing, and he has earned himself a way out of Baba Yaga's grip, and depending on
which he walked himself into.
Yeah,
you're like,
and
I need this.
But he got the intel, right?
Okay,
cool.
And depending on the version of the story.
Turns out he had a secret weapon.
There you go. And depending on the version of the story, a magical talking horse.
Cool.
Gotcha.
So in some versions of the story, we get a bit of a cop-out because he goes back to Cachet. He's got the fancy horse that can beat Cachet's horse.
Nice.
Runs away with the wife, and then kicks Cachet in the head so that he's unconscious enough that we light him on fire and scatter the ashes to the winds. And that is apparently
how you vanquish the deathless.
Yeah. I don't buy that. So in the other version of the story,
sounds like it leaves the door open for a sequel. She probably decided to option the second movie.
At the very last shot of the movie is like the reconstituted skeletal hand.
Yeah, right. Or after the credits, Nick Fury and his eye patch are like, oh, yeah, it's good we you know, made that, like, ash reassembly machine, Mark Ruffalo.
But in the version I prefer, of course, he finds his way to the island because he's got the magical horse that can fly and do whatever.
The island with the trunk, with
the island with the tree, with the chest, with the turducken of death.
Okay.
Aren't
all turduckens of death, y'all?
I mean,
right.
It depends on how much turducken you
And in this version of the story, I think he hasn't called in the animal favors, and this is where the animal favors come in.
Nice.
So he chops down the tree, and under the tree we have buried this wooden chest, and he opens up the chest, and out jumps the hare. But then...
Oh shit, it's alive.
Yeah.
That's
all of these things are alive.
Turducken.
Well, because they're holding this
They're magical
thing,
turducken
so.
Holding the death of the most powerful wizard
Whatever,
that is still
y'all.
In your life.
Dead one. Okay,
yeah.
We can move on.
So it jumps out.
Okay.
It's alive. The hare runs away as fast as he can. There's no way Yvonne can catch it.
Too fast.
But he's got a magic horse.
And yeah, but in this version, the wolf jumps out, catches the hare for you. Opens up the hare, out jumps the duck. Duck goes swimming away. I think the fish get it for
Probably.
Him. And then out comes the egg, and you smash the egg. In some versions, you just smash the egg and he's dead. But in the version I like, you open up the egg, you've got the needle, and you break the needle in half.
A feat of strength.
Yeah. And then the powers of Cachet are dissolved, and Yvonne gets his wife back, and they all live and farm and be happy until the end of their days. That's just a taste of your Russian hero quests.
Oh man, what a taste it was.
What have we learned today? I don't know.
Okay.
Always keep your sex dungeon locked so your husband doesn't find out about
and
it.
Just don't tell your husband about
like,
the sex dungeon.
Don't point it out on day one.
Right. So
also,
glad we got married. Don't go in there. Off to pillage.
If you're looking for a romantic getaway, consider a war tent.
Most animals talk and will do you favors if you threaten them and then don't actually follow through.
It's good to cultivate alliances from magical forest animals.
Yes.
Russians will 98% of the time marry birds.
Right, and the birds are not, they're good, like, they're good upstanding, like, I would marry into that family.
A good upstanding
bird. Aren't they great brothers-in-law? Yeah, like, they go out to find their brother-in-law in the middle of the ocean.
Eagle, eagle son, and falcon, falcon son, and raven, raven son.
Ah, oh, the Ravensons.
Yeah.
The good family.
Good upstanding family. In-laws. There we go.
I'm marrying that family right away. Listeners, if you want to hear more about Ivan and language and culture and politics and religion and Great British Bake Off, you can find him on Twitter at Ivan Pliss and at IvanPliss.com.
That's right. It's very straightforward. IvanPliss. Thank you so much, guys. It was a real pleasure.
Absolutely. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah.
Spirits was created by Julia Shafini and me, Amanda McLaughlin. It's edited by Eric Schneider with music by Kevin McLeod and visual design by Allison Wakeman.
Subscribe to Spirits on your preferred podcast app to make sure you never miss an episode. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Tumblr at Spirits Podcast.
On our Patreon page, patreon.com/spiritspodcast, you can sign up for exclusive content like behind-the-scenes photos, audio extras, director's commentary, blooper reels, and beautiful recipe cards with custom drink and snack pairings.
If you like the show, please share with your friends and leave us a review on iTunes. It really does help.
Thank you so much for listening. Till next time.